Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
That was a remarkable story. Breda O'Grady and Lisa Ann Skidmore, finding out they're related after all these years, and now they can't meet because they've never met and can't meet now because of the lockdown. Anne O'Connell, again, another, the rich tapestry of life. Anne is in Spain with your partner.
Yes, yes.
How are you, Anne?
I'm not too bad, yeah.
That's good. But it's not yourself or your partner you're worried about, it's your ex-husband.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't sound too strange.
No, it doesn't.
But I was very, very angry this morning, Joe, and it was out of sheer emotion and anger that I got in touch with you.
All right.
And I was absolutely amazed that my ex-husband even allowed him. I just said, I'm getting on to Joe Duffy. Yeah. So he was, I couldn't believe that he agreed.
Okay. And where is he living?
He's living in Rathfarnham.
Oh, in Dublin. Okay.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be named. He's
very
private
person.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he's very anxious, and I gave him that commitment that I
you're
wouldn't.
Very good.
You know.
And Anne, can I ask you when did you split up?
Oh, 1935.
No, when? When
oh, sorry, 1985.
Okay, yeah. So, but you still keep in touch.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
you know,
fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's
you know,
fantastic. Fair
no,
play.
We have we have three children together. You know, three of them are abroad. Yeah.
Magic. Okay, the three of them are abroad. So your ex-husband is living on his own.
He's living on his own.
Okay,
and he's a very, very private, quiet person that likes to be absolutely private, totally and utterly dependent on a couple of carers for his community. You know, his contact with the outside world and his caring.
And what has you angry when you spoke to him about?
Angry because my son contacted me yesterday and he said he got a phone call from a Dublin number. He's living abroad and he got a Dublin number.
Okay.
And he said, I just don't know what it is. So then he WhatsApped me and he said, it's okay, I've solved it. I think it's one of his carers. So I said, have you phoned your dad? And he said, no. And I took it on myself to phone him and find out, like, I wonder why would a carer be, you know, using my son's number. So I rang my ex-husband and he said that, one of my carers, he said, that was in with me on Saturday is out sick. And he said, I'm concerned, he said, that has she got the virus? And I have made numerous efforts, he said, to find out and nobody will tell me anything.
Okay.
And he said, I just am scared, he said, I really am. And I was amazed because I know he's a very quiet, very private man, likes to live on his own, doesn't like any kind of nonsense. But, you know, I said to him, well, what can I do? Can I help? And he said, no, he said, I'll handle it myself. Well, I said, if one of the lads ring you, one of the three, I said, no, I don't want to bother anybody. That's the type he is. And I said, you'll have to get, I will sort it out. I will find out whether she has the virus or not. He's 83. He's had a lot of illness.
Okay.
He's had cancer very successfully removed.
Okay.
He had a stroke then subsequently, and he got over that. So he's very limited in his movement. So he has a carer coming in the morning and coming in an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, and then meals on wheels. And but he was so agitated. So this morning, it was on my mind and I was worried and I decided I must ring you now and see what has he got to the bottom of this and why is it out sick and if he's not, you know, protected in the house, whatever, you know. So he said to me, he said, no, he said, nobody will tell me anything. And I got on to the manager, he said, and she said she couldn't tell him what was wrong with the carer and probably most likely data protection. And,
was the carer wearing any PPE, any personal
protection? No, nothing.
We've heard this a lot over the last few weeks, that carers who are going from house to house, from people who by definition need caring from outside their home setting, in other words, they're vulnerable, but the carers are going from house to house and not wearing PPE.
They have gloves, he said. And
About face masks?
Nothing. I asked him, had their face masks? No. And I said, at any stage, even after talking to your researcher, I rang him back and I asked him, did she wear? I was so upset Joe, I was so distraught. I was so angry. Oh. I was absolutely, you've no idea how emotional I was and so furious. I actually surprised myself. I was amazed at my own emotion. Anger, I was so angry that a person of him as vulnerable.
Yeah.
As vulnerable as him. I'm not a young person. I'm in my 70s. I don't feel vulnerable. And I don't want, and if I do get the virus, I don't want to say vulnerable or underlying conditions, because I have total object to being bracketed in any shape or form. But I think that he's so vulnerable up
now,
there
the
in that house.
See, the latest, there's been such a campaign now for face masks, and the whole argument about face masks is you don't wear a face mask to protect yourself, you wear face masks to protect the other person.
Of course, absolutely.
And now the HSE have announced that every healthcare worker will now have to wear a face mask. Every whether
that just came. I just heard it on the news before I got on to you.
And we've been trying to find out. We've been trying to find out. Does this include carers who are healthcare, home care workers? So it's not clear at this stage whether, but it should, shouldn't it? Obviously, it's crystal clear. And even the agencies.
Just appalling. In Spain now, every single person over 65 years of age are provided with masks.
Oh, are they?
Yes. Mm. And so I went up yesterday. My partner called up to the chemist yesterday, and he got... Now, I have a friend, my friend, very good friend in Bilbao, which they run, herself and her husband run a language school there, Eamon and Joy. And Eamon keeps me very briefed on all the legislation that comes in from the Spanish authorities.
Okay.
And from the Prime Minister. And, of course, and I, between that and RTE and Sky News and this bit of Spanish news
that
I watched.
How is Spain doing? It's horrific, the death toll.
Well, I haven't seen anything here, but in Madrid, I'd say most of it. But I was particularly scared when Easter came here, because nearly most of my neighbours here are all very, it's a kind of a very quiet Spanish place. It's not a tourist place. It's privately owned homes. And I was terrified at Easter that there'd be a big invasion from Madrid down to, and all the houses would be open up. And I was out on my terrace, and I'd say, oh God, there's a cleaner up the road there now, and she's cleaning out a house. There's somebody coming from Madrid. But lo and behold, anyway, anybody that attempted to leave Madrid were turned back by the Guardia Civil. They were just totally, and I mean, the lockdown came here with absolutely military precision. I was only a week out here when next thing is my enjoyment of my little place that I spend a few winter months was locked down, beach closed off, tapes on it, parks closed off.
And did you have any warning that the lockdown was coming?
Not a thing, not an idea. I did my shopping in the supermarket, crossed over to my cafe for a cup of coffee or a glass of wine. It varies from time to time. And to be told that, do you not know about the virus? It spoke to me in Spanish, because I have limited Spanish, so I can understand a lot. And they said, do you not understand about the virus? And I said, they said, lockdown, the playa, the playa. And I said, what's they talking about, the playa? The playa, you know?
The beach,
walked down with my trolley full of messages to find that there were all the ayuntamiento, the town hall, barricading the whole place, every entrance to the beach, and you're talking about 30 to 35 kilometres of a beach in Guadamar, and it's all barricaded off with and the park that I walk through. Normally I walk through the park, all barricaded, and labels made out, Cerrada para coronavirus. And the Chinese, I noticed Chinese restaurants were all closed simultaneously 4 days previously.
Yeah. And what's the lockdown situation in Spain now, Anne?
Total lockdown. You can't. I'm okay. I'm lucky. I have a nice terrace to look down on the sea, and I feel very lucky about that. But I'm getting a bit tired of it, and not having human contact, chats and things like that. But on the phone. But it's a gated community, so I'm able to do a walk and exercise around. But I was so angry, and I asked. I said to him, "Are you sure that you have that he hasn't been wearing the mask?" He said, "No."
Yeah, well, it's...
And he is so vulnerable.
Yeah, okay, just getting more information. And listen to it all. The poster, there's a new HSE poster come out about safe use of masks. So obviously, now they say masks should not be used in non-clinical areas. It's unclear.
Well, everybody's wearing a mask here. So the news came out yesterday, saw it in the Spanish newspaper, that everybody over 65 were to go to the pharmacy and get free masks. So we got them, and they gave me six. And they said, are you happy with that? Now, my friend in Bilbao, she only got one, but I think that's, they got one each, but I think that's because there's a bigger population in Bilbao than there would be here in this little place, you know. But we got six. But what I do with them is I wear them to the supermarket when I go in. And they're very strict because when you go in, naturally you get your hands, you get gloves sanitized. And you get gel and you do all the usual and your all was all marked out and that. But I bring it home and they see it, even though it's not paper, it's kind of meshy kind of thing.
You see, and now the problem, mind you, this poster is only fresh off the presses, but it's about masks and how you should wear a mask and you wear the correct mask for the correct setting. But it says masks should not be used in non-clinical areas. Now, is the home...
Non-clinical areas.
Yeah, but is a home carer coming into a home delivering a non-clinical service? I suspect they might think so.
Well, she's in the kitchen preparing his food. And she's caring for him in different ways, and he has to be bathed, and he has to be, you know. But there's nothing. I said to him, there, what do you do? Would you not go upstairs? He said, no, she's in the kitchen, and I keep the distance. Well, I said, if she sneezes in the kitchen, are you making sure that you're...
If she touches, this is the thing with the virus. If you touch stainless steel, it can stay on it for 3 days, apparently.
It can,
It's a virulent, it's an evil, evil pestilence. It has invaded us. And it's travelled like wildfire. That's why Spain had that incredible, and still has that horrific death toll. The UK is a rising and horrific death toll. We have a rising and horrific death toll. The United States of America is out of control. It's a virulent,
And isn't it funny, Joe? My daughter lives abroad, and I flew out on the 23rd of January. Because I live in Lahinch, and I was flying out to Portland, and I was on the bus from Lahinch up to Dublin, and the guy in Dublin said to me, "Oh, he said the airport in Seattle is locked down," and this was the 23rd of January, and I said I thought he was joking, you know, and kind of he was really in some sense. Okay. It was Dublin to Seattle, and I discovered that there was some person flew in with the virus from China to Seattle. And I don't know whether it had any significance or not, but the airport was so quiet. There was hardly anybody at the airport. And I had my 2 weeks with my daughter, and I flew back home at Merlingus. And I didn't give any more thought to it until I heard here, when I came out to Spain, then the next thing is I heard that Lahinch, where my main house, where I live, I spend a couple of months here in the winter, that a teacher or somebody had flown in from Lombardy, a doctor in Lahinch. And then my neighbour, who was two doors up from me, was quarantined straight away.
Okay.
Put in the mask,
I'm just wondering, if clients of carers, should they, or their families even say, send their relative, obviously you can't move around at the minute, but even post their relative face masks and say to them when the carer comes, insist that they wear these face masks, because it doesn't look like the HSE are going to insist.
Well, I had got six yesterday, and when I come back with mine and my partner's, I put them into a little bowl of warm, soapy water, I let them overnight, and I rinse them out, and I only try and go to the shops once a week. I limit it because we're allowed to go to the shops here, but only one at a time and only shopping. We're not allowed exercise. But the funny thing is that you can exercise your dog all right, but we can't exercise ourselves. I don't have a dog, thank God. We can't exercise ourselves.
And you obviously still, and fair play, you still care for your partner very much.
Oh, well, I would care for care for anybody, friend or foe or anybody.
I hope
that would be...
And how is he in himself? He's not showing any symptoms, is he? Okay.
No, he isn't. But sure, the last time he was in was Saturday, you know? And he's in England, and he'd say, of course he's scared. You know, he's scared. Okay. And he must have been very scared when he said to me, I could ring you. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Because he said to me, no way.
He's very private.
Very, very private.
Well, he's raised an issue that's been raised almost every day in the programme since this started about carers.
And I couldn't believe it, Joe.
When they go sick, people, what was the one the other day? A family hadn't been contacted, even though they had been in contact with the carer. And when they rang the agency said, well, that's nothing to do with us. We gave all the names of the clients to the HSE and they hadn't been. Anyway, I know it's a pandemic and there's gaps. But anyway, that seems to me to be a gap that's our listeners are highlighting. And you stay safe, yourself and your partner in near Alicante there. And kind yeah. regards to your very, very good friend and ex-husband living in Rathfarnham.
Right. Okay, Joe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me say, and stay there if you can. Don't go. I've a home carer. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're a home carer. What's the message you're getting from the HSE?
Well, the message through our company is that we are not obliged to wear masks when we go in to visit clients in their home.
Wow.
But if a client requests us to wear a mask, of course we'll. But we have to source our own masks.
We have to buy your own masks?
Yeah. Or but sometimes the client's family will have masks in the house. And
But I'm even looking at this new poster that's come out today, but now that they're insisting that medics, healthcare, frontline workers wear masks, there's different types of masks. And they also say, always change your mask when you answer the phone. So I mean, you need 10 masks a day.
I know.
Anyway, emerging as a serious issue. How are you getting on in your work, Catherine?
Fine, yeah. We don't seem to be having the same issues as the nursing homes, touch wood.
Yeah.
All our clients are virus-free and we don't seem to be spreading it in the community.
And how are you? How are you doing?
Oh, grand. Yeah, I'm glad to be able to work, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you do great work. A carers do great work. Really great work.
Oh, well, it's very rewarding.
And it's very important. Yeah. Catherine, you mind yourself. By the way, when you say, would different houses have different masks if they asked? Would you write down on the mask number 42?
And put it in a little baggie and keep it with me. But I'm wearing the same mask every day, so I don't know how healthy that is for me, wearing the same mask every day into the same house.
I don't think, anyway, It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. Masks seem to the opinions.
And of course, we wear aprons and gloves. We constantly sanitize and wash our hands, before we touch anything.
Okay.
Following those guidelines, yeah.
Okay, Catherine, go safely. And Anne O'Connell and your extended friendships there, please go safely as well. That's Catherine Dan. Somebody sent me in from the UK, believe it or not. Alice Isherwood, who was the mother of the two people that haven't met. She was their grandmother as such. Alice Isherwood, somebody sent me in a burial memorial from Newton Le Willows Cemetery in Metropolitan Borough of St. Helens, Maryside in England. And it's the death ID of Alice Isherwood, born in 1893, that fits. And she died in the UK, obviously, in 1959. Age 65, 66. But that's a fascinating find there by a man called John Mentz, I think. I don't know where John is, Mentz. I mean, he's based here in Ireland, I think. Fair play, John. If there's any more information, let us know. That's where I've just been handed. Okay, 51551, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Tina, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. This is a very unusual search you're on. You're trying to get a nursing home to take in your dad.
Yeah. And there's nobody taking in anyone, anywhere, Joe.
Yeah, and because of the COVID-19.
Because of the COVID-19. And dad was actually due to go in for respite there a few weeks ago. And it was cancelled because of the COVID-19,
And what do they say when you contact a nursing home?
Just nothing.
Nursing homes.
Just putting them on a waiting list, Joe.
Yeah.
That's it. It's very frustrating because, this is a kind of an emergency situation at the moment because my mum is struggling to look after my dad at the moment. He needs 24-hour care. And we've been with the doctor with the last couple of weeks. His medication has been put up to the highest it can be put up.
Okay.
You know? And it's just an impossible situation. And like, I understand the COVID-19, and you don't want to be ringing, put anyone into a home at this stage. But what do you do in an emergency, Joe?
Yeah.
And if anything happened to my mother.
And are nursing homes not taking in?
No.
But is it because they're run off their feet, or they're worried about?
The only thing they said to me was they're looking after the patients they have, and that's basically it, Joe, which is understandable. But I mean, my doctor even suggested to us 3 weeks ago that we get Dad tested for the COVID-19.
Yeah.
That would help, and they refused to test him. They said he wasn't a priority case.
But if your father was able to say, your family on his behalf, were able to say that he doesn't have COVID-19, do you think he would get into a nursing home?
Well, the doctor thought this might help.
Help, yeah, okay.
And he made the appointment for the test, and we just got a text back to say that he wasn't a priority, so therefore he wouldn't be tested. So, I mean, what do you do, Joe?
And has your dad got carers coming in?
No. He hasn't got carers. We have a nurse that comes every couple of weeks to Mam, and she reports back then to the doctor. She'd be a psychiatrist, basically.
Yeah.
She'd be working like the HSC, I think.
So your mother is the sole carer for your dad?
She is. My brother lives at home.
Yeah.
But he's at work, and Joe, he's gone at 7 in the morning, and my dad doesn't want him in the house. He doesn't recognise him anymore.
So you don't know.
You know, so that's another difficulty.
And what about, given that all the stories we've been hearing all week say that there's quite a significant number of empty hospital beds. Now, that's good news. We don't want people going into hospital.
No.
Unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah, but you see, the thing about a dementia patient, Joe, they need dementia care. A hospital wouldn't be suitable for
my
dad, you know what I mean? Unless he had medical problems, maybe. But, you know, I mean, my dad, you know, he can't tell us whether he's in pain. We discovered he had gout, he was actually in pain for a couple of weeks, you know. He basically can't do anything for himself, only lift his knife and fork and eat his dinner, whatever, his meals.
Yeah.
Other than that, Mam does everything. But it's not that, Joe. It's just, you know, where do we go? What do we do? You can't tell people,
powerless.
We have. Yeah. You know? And I mean, as I said to your researcher, in this situation, we'll end up having two sick people because the carer is going to be a sick person.
Yeah.
You know?
And can you go to your mother? Again, that's a risk as well.
Well, I mean, I do have to go, Joe. Mm. At the minute now, I'm just going in to do the shopping. And I do have to go. You can't just abandon your parents.
I know.
Basically, you know. And I can't bring them out anymore. I mean, we used to go for, you know, the spin twice a week and bring them to the restaurant, and it was the highlight. So
your dad is 83, and your mother isn't far off. So
she'd be 78.
70, but still, it's still an extraordinarily onerous, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're essential services, Joe. They say, like, they keep the essential services going, and, you know, there's hundreds of people in the country looking after vulnerable people, and where do you go, Joe? What do you do?
Okay.
I can't be told no. We all understand the COVID-19 and, you know, what's going on in the country, what's going on in the world. But, I mean, I know, I heard on the radio earlier on today, 60% of the homes in the country are COVID-free.
Yeah, after nursing homes,
Yeah. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
You know, they can't just shut their doors to people.
Okay.
And I just wanted to highlight it, Joe,
you've done it well,
I'm sure there's other people in the same situation.
Yeah. Well, maybe. You know? And the other thing as well is you're living where you're in Waterford, are you? Where are you? Kilkenny?
I'd be south Kilkenny. I'd be good away from my mum and dad, you know.
That's what I mean, but we'd have to get a nursing home fairly close to where he's now living.
Yeah. Yeah.
For your mother, well, she won't be able to visit anyway. That's the other.
No, and that's
okay.
The
well, maybe we'll hear from nursing homes about why. Yeah. It might be self-evident why they're not, because they are up to their eyes and run off their feet. And what do they say to you? We want to look after the people that are here.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, I couldn't get any advice even, Joe.
Yeah, advice. Yeah, okay. No. That's what it's all about. No. Okay, Tina.
Yeah.
Take care. Safely your father and indeed your mother and your family. Yeah. Thanks indeed. That's Tina in South Kilkenny, Waterford. Mary in Monaghan, back to carers not being provided with face masks when they go into different homes. Mary, your point, please.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon. Yeah. Now, Joe, the point I was making is the carers that come into my house, they came at the very beginning and, they have their gloves and their aprons, but they weren't wearing masks. So we provided the masks for them. And then I sort of sat down one day and I said, this is a bit silly. These companies are getting paid a lot of money to provide these carers to us, and maybe they should be, you know, providing the staff with the masks. So I telephoned and the girl said, no, if you want masks, you provide the masks. They are provided with gloves and aprons, and that's quite sufficient. But from the other point that I was explaining to a researcher, under the Health and Safety at Work Act, those companies and the HSE are supposed to make sure that their employees are looked after and are safe.
Okay.
And if they're not wearing a mask, they are not safe.
But you see, the problem is that is the feeling of a lot of medics and scientists and indeed ordinary lay people. But it's not the view of the National Emergency Group at the moment. That is now, it's changed for hospitals as of today. They must wear masks, but it hasn't changed for outside of hospitals. And it says clearly in this, it says masks should not be used in non-clinical areas.
But I was afraid for the carers themselves, because the poor girls, they run off their feet. They're so good. We have been so lucky with all our carers. And we provided the mask for them, but I made sure that they didn't take the mask from our house. It was left with a name on it in a plastic bag for them to use again. And then after a couple of times, we changed it again for them all. That was the way we did it. And it's terrible, really, for them. Really, honestly, they're so good. Every one of them, that these companies are not taking their staff safety seriously enough.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
And point well made. Thanks indeed, Mary and Monaghan, and kind regards to your mother and her carers. 51551, my chance.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. There's a serious contradiction now emerging over the use of face masks. On the one hand, NEFID have today decided through the HSE that all workers in a clinical setting should wear face masks. And they've now done a leaflet about what to do and not to do. And then it says masks should not be used in non-clinical settings. Okay. Now, and our worry has been, and the worry raised by our listeners, has been carers, including by carers themselves, not being given PPE and not being given instructions. In fact, the clear instruction there is that carers, it says masks should not be used in a non-clinical setting. I presume a home visit. But Bernadette, one of our listeners, Bernadette, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
How did you discover this leaflet, which is issued by the exact same organisation that's issued the mask today, saying no need for masks for carers? When did you discover this document?
Well, Joe, to be honest with you, I have been concerned about this issue since the start of the pandemic, and I have been constantly listening to the media briefings that are given out by the HSE and the government and the economical sector. And I...
You found this leaflet.
I heard Priscilla Lynch ask the question about masks, and she was more or less brushed under the carpet to say that they're following HPSC guidelines.
Yeah.
So I decided to go into their site. It took me quite a while to find it.
And you found, when was this leaflet issued?
Now, this leaflet was issued back in 2014.
And it specifically says, wait for this.
It specifically says,
when it's infection prevention and control, an information booklet for home helps and personal assistance. And it's specific. I'm Astina, you read out the paragraph you found in this leaflet from 4 years ago from the government.
Okay, it's on page 15, and it's a caveat at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
When should I wear face mask eye protection? Face mask and eye protection are necessary when spraying or splashing of body or bloody fluids to your face or eyes is anticipated. Face masks are not normally routinely needed and will be made available if required. For example, in the pandemic flu and some cases of TB.
Well, that's the pandemic. Now, the pandemic is here.
We're already aware that the pandemic flu is not as strong as COVID. COVID-19 is 10 times more transmissible than a pandemic flu. And it's beyond me to understand why they won't issue face masks to the carers. Now, you must be aware, Joe, there are two different types of carers under the HSC.
Mm-hmm.
There are carers who work on a one-to-one basis performing personal care. They have to work within 1 metre of distance, and it's those ones in particular that definitely need the mask.
Yeah, and this is an information booklet for home helps and personal assistance issued 6 years ago by the HSE and all the Royal College of Physicians, the Office of Nursing and Midwifery. And this document from 6 years ago says, aimed at home help and carers, it says, face masks and eye protection necessary when spraying or splashing of blood or body fluids to your face is anticipated. Face masks are not routinely needed and will be made available if required, e.g. a pandemic flu and some cases of TB. Now, that's a game, set and match. Why aren't they giving? Why aren't they insisting on supplying home helps, carers with these masks? Because they said that's exactly the situation. The only situation that would generate such a need is in a pandemic flu.
Exactly.
And now we're in the pandemic coronavirus, which is...
Yes. Now, I contacted the HSE and I went up 3 lines of command and I was told that a memo was sent out in March to say that masks were not needed. And again, I was brushed off. It's absolutely disgraceful.
But in a time of non-pandemic...
That's fine.
You know, BP, in Ireland BP, yes. Ireland before the pandemic, or BC, before coronavirus. In the Ireland of 214 BC, before coronavirus, they were issuing it, they have in a document saying... We will supply face masks if there is a pandemic.
Yes. Okay. Now, my point is that Dr. Colm Henry on Friday... And
they're all doing their best. I know. Go ahead. Yeah.
But he reiterated it again on Sunday that patients with immunosuppression, which lots of the elderly have immunosuppression, may not necessarily show signs and symptoms of COVID-19. So my point is, a carer could be going into a house, treating one of these patients or working with them, and they may not realise that they have COVID-19, and then unknowingly transmit it to the next house that they're travelling to.
Exactly, which is the point which is made, I think,
4 weeks
ago on this programme. But anyway, many of the powers that be have enough to be getting on with. But you've found irrefutable evidence that it is the advice of the HSE, that carers, where they're contradicting it now, but they're saying, they said in before the coronavirus era, definitely in a pandemic, should wear a face mask, carers, home helps, etc. And now they're saying no. When the pandemic arrives.
Now, I'm assuming it's because there's a shortage of PPE. But on the other hand, I don't believe that there's a shortage of the regular masks. I do know there's a shortage of the masks that are used in a high volume capacity, you know. But I think that there are plenty of the regular masks. And I don't and can't understand why they are not, A, protecting their staff, B, protecting their clients, and C, preventing the transmit of this pandemic coronavirus.
Okay.
And I would appeal, if Simon Harris listens to you at all, that he would act on this immediately before the elderly in the community is the next big headline.
Well, there's so many challenges, but it's really important that people point them out again and again and again. Bernadette, yeah. you mind yourself and go.
Joe, can I just say one other thing
there?
Yes,
of course you can.
Yeah. Earlier on there, I heard one of the carers who were, one of the people in the houses who were concerned about their care, that she was mentioned that she was giving them masks and they were putting them in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
I think, personally, that's an area that would breed bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, when a mask is used, in my opinion, it'll last for an hour and a half. It should be discarded safely.
Yeah.
And a fresh mask used each time.
Okay.
I know people are trying to do their best. Okay. I myself have been providing masks for my carers at €3 each. It's not sustainable.
Okay. Thanks, Bernadette. Well spotted. Seriously, thanks again.
Thanks, Joe. Mind
yourself.
God bless. You're doing a great job.
And it's a privilege. Elaine Conlon is the BCO. Richie Berman's on research. Pat O'Carney was on sound. Today's producer is the series producer, Rebecca Meehan. And we're still looking, by the way, for that man, Tommy Bonner, in England. And we're also looking for any relations of Alice Isherwood, who was buried in England. But we don't... Tommy, we hope. I'm sure he's still alive. He had that... his name came up in relation to our team because one of the songs written the day I heard Tommy Bonner sing. Okay, back tomorrow, 1:45. Ray Darcy's next.